The Warrior Soul Podcast is written, edited, and produced by me, Chris Albert. Our mission is to provide tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas that help the U.S. military veteran community to show up as the wisest, strongest, most capable versions of themselves in the civilian world. If you're not a veteran, stick around because anything we talk about will most certainly apply to you as well. This podcast is made possible with the help of F-Bomb Nutrition. They make delicious packets of fats that you can carry around anywhere with you in little portable packets. They make macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with coconut butter. They're absolutely delicious, and they're really good for you. They don't have any sugar. They also make a lot of cheese snacks. They make meat sticks, and it's just a great company. These guys send packages of this stuff to the troops who are on the front lines overseas to supplement their MREs, and we didn't ask them to do that. They just did that on their own initiative. Really great company. If you want to get 20% off your first order of F-bombs, head over to www.droppingfbomb.com and use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout. This podcast is also brought to you with the help of Save the Brave. SaveTheBrave.org is a 501c3 charity for veterans. They run camaraderie events that include fishing, golfing. They also do a lot of work with Gold Star families. And unlike a lot of other organizations, their board doesn't take a salary. Really great organization that is doing amazing work. So go and check them out at SaveTheBrave.org. With that, thank you guys so much. Let's get into today's programming. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast. What is going on, everybody? I almost started with, hey, all you cool cats and kittens. I've been watching too much Tiger King. But today's subject matter is actually very serious. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start by reading you a segment from an article by the EMF guy. He is somebody who is in a group, Dr. Anthony G. Beck's group. Anthony Beck was a previous guest on this podcast, and he deals with human health and optimization. He's a homeopathic doctor. And, you know, what I want to do up front is say this. I'm not going to bring any conspiracy theories or hoaxes to you. What I want to do is I want to present you with some facts. And I want you to form your own conclusions from these facts. And this article is called 8 Inconvenient Truths About COVID-19. And one of the inconvenient truths about what we're being told about COVID-19 is that up to 80% of the tests, or up to 80% of the positive results for COVID-19 could be false positives. And about 2 weeks ago, when this whole thing started, I had Dr. Kirk Parsley on the show. And he explained that we carry a lot of things around with us that have similar RNA to COVID-19. Now, here's the deal. I'm a moron. I'm not a doctor, right? I'm not somebody who you should be looking to for medical advice. I'm not somebody whom you should put your entire faith into when it comes to your health. I talk quite a bit about fitness and things like that. But again, as always, I ask you to go out and do your own research and to confirm these things for yourself. What I'm just doing here is I'm bringing you some facts, because as the WHO itself, the World Health Organization itself, says, is that facts, not fear, are going to defeat the coronavirus. And, you know, I want to present some of these facts to you. And this article by the EMF guy, which again, I'm going to post in the show notes. It's a very, very good article that talks about some of the things that we are not bringing up, or if you bring up, then people start coming after you like you are some sort of conspiracy theorist. These are facts. They're not something that's made up out of thin air. They're not something that I'm putting a tinfoil hat on and then smoking a blunt and then coming up with out of my own head. These are things that are actually true. So I'm going to go through a few of these. And the first of which is the massive problems with testing, right? And testing problem number one is that the RT-PCR test does not rule out bacterial infection or co-infections with other viruses. And I'm reading from the article here. Hey, I'm not making this up. It's clearly stated in the CDC COVID-19 testing kit's instruction manual. Quote, positive results are indicative of active infection with 2019-nCoV, but do not rule out bacterial infection or co-infection with other viruses. The agent detected may not be the definite cause of disease. In other words, the test can detect the presence of RNA of the virus SARS-CoV-2, but does not rule out the fact that a person considered a confirmed case of COVID-19 might also have a serious or deadly bacterial infection, or even other viruses which might be responsible for their symptoms. But in the current political medical climate, the vast majority of those who test positive will be considered a confirmed case of COVID-19, regardless of whether their actual symptoms are caused by COVID-19 or something else. We can rest assured, should this symptomatic person die, the cause of death will likely be COVID-19, and not they had COVID-19, but also several viruses and bacterial co-infections that each might have contributed to their death. And they will become yet another red dot on the Johns Hopkins coronavirus tracker. Here's the deal. And I'm not reading from the article anymore. You know, what you're seeing right now is that politicians' hands are tied. And I'm going to get into this later. They're tied toward this course of action that they've taken, shelter in place, creating these lockdowns. And they're tied to it because of fear. Even if President Trump or Governor Newsom or Governor Cuomo didn't want to do this, they have to do it because of the current political climate, because people are out there banging the fear drums. Now, before I move on with that, I want to go into what this gentleman says about testing problem number two. The second problem is that there are up to 80% false positives. Again, this is something that Dr. Kirk Parsley brought up last or 2 weeks ago on the show. And I'm going to read from the article again. Okay, this is one study, but if that number happens to be true, then we are in deep, deep trouble, since this might mean our entire assessment of the current situation might be wrong by orders of magnitude. In their study titled Potential False Positive Rate Among the Asymptomatic Infected Individuals and Close Contacts of COVID-19 Patients, Chinese researchers Zhuang et al. Reported on March 5, 2020 that when the infection rate of the close contacts and the sensitivity and specificity of reported results were taken as the point estimates of the positive predictive value of the active screening was only 19.67%. In contrast, the false positive rate of positive results was 80.33%. 80.33%. A false positive test is when a test shows that someone has been infected with the coronavirus, when in reality, they have not been infected. But this gets more complicated, since false negatives might also be a serious problem. In other words, people are being told that they don't have the virus when in reality they have it. Both of these problems with testing makes our assessment of how big the issue is much more blurry. An important March 26th update. Since I first wrote this part, it was confirmed that the original Chinese study has been retracted, as confirmed by NPR. We currently do not know a lot about why it was retracted, other than the senior author of that study saying it's because of a sensitive matter. The rest is up to speculation. Even if this study ends up being proven false, there are several other indications that the tests might be inaccurate. Something that in the end needs to be part of the scientific and public debate. Wang Chen, president of the Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences, admitted early in February that the accuracy rate of the test is only 30 to 50%. 14% of the recovered patients in China test positive again for SARS-CoV-2. This is downright bizarre, and it supports the idea that they were in fact never infected with the virus. These are false positives. The rapid tests measuring antibodies, which have been considered a possible alternative to test large samples of population, are also extremely inaccurate. The Spanish media El País report that the tests acquired by the government have a sensitivity of 30% when they should exceed 80%. And here's testing problem number three. The WHO and world governments have complete faith in these clearly inaccurate tests. Even though the tests are clearly not reliable, the WHO and governments around the world seem to be taking the results at face value, a fact that David Crowe describes at length in this article. And he quotes the article, quote, infectious disease always have a definition, but they are usually not publicized too widely because then they would be open to ridicule. They usually have a, quote, suspect case category based on symptoms and exposure and a, quote, confirmed category that adds some kind of testing. Since January 18th, after Chinese researchers gathered more information on this novel virus, the definition of a suspected case of COVID-19 changed to these four criteria. 1. Fever with or without recorded temperature. Crowe notes that this criterion is as vague as it can get. 2. Radiographic evidence of pneumonia. Sorry, I can't talk today, guys. Radiographic evidence of pneumonia. 3. Low or normal white cell count or low lymphocyte count. Crowe notes this is not really a criterion as every healthy person is included. One of these two, this is number 4, one of these two, patient has a travel history to Wuhan or direct contact with patients from Wuhan who had a fever or respiratory symptoms within 14 days before illness onset. Confirmed cases of COVID-19 were defined by the WHO as a person with laboratory confirmation of COVID-19 infection, irrespective of clinical signs and symptoms. Crowe continues, the big problem is that in contrast to the definition for SARS, a quote confirmed case did not originally require the criteria for a suspect case to be met. A confirmed case simply required a positive RNA test without any symptoms or possibility of contact with previous cases, illustrating total faith in the PCR technology used in the test. Right? That's total faith in that Chinese technology. The World Health Organization definition has the same flaw. It was the fact that the SARS definition required both a reasonable possibility of contact with a previous case and symptoms that allowed the epidemic to burn out. Once everyone was quarantined, new cases were highly unlikely. Testing stopped and doctors could declare victory. So in plain English, anyone who tests, quote, positive on the RT-PCR test, which is known to be extremely inaccurate, can be considered a confirmed case of COVID-19, even if there's no way on earth that person could have ever been in contact with someone infected with COVID-19. But this part gets even more interesting and might explain why COVID-19 cases, quote-unquote cases, in China decreased so much around mid-February. The Chinese eventually woke up around February 16th, required confirmed cases to meet the requirements for a suspected case as well as a positive test. They might have put this new definition into practice earlier because after a massive addition of almost 16,000 confirmed cases on February 12th, the number fell dramatically each day and by February 18th was under 500 cases and continued to stay low. But other countries did not learn. Korea, Japan, and Italy have started doing tests with no epidemiological link, encouraging people with the vague symptoms that are part of the definition to come to the hospital to get checked out, and obviously following up with asymptomatic people with a connection to anybody who tests positive. Consequently, in mid to late February, cases in those countries started to skyrocket. This part is so important, it bears repeating. With such an imprecise test, there is a strong chance that the more you test, the more so-called confirmed cases of COVID-19 you get. The more you see outbreaks, the more panic you create, and the less scientific and rational your assessment of this situation becomes. Look, and I'm not reading from the article anymore. Here's the deal. We are not thinking clearly about this. Clearly, the decisions from government are based on fear. The misinformation that is going around through the news media, whom, in my opinion, in most of the cases you see out there in mainstream media, are looking for a gotcha to make the president look bad, are looking to create clickbait headlines to make people click on their articles and so that they can get revenue from their ads that they place on their pages. And again, I'm not trying to de-emphasize the danger here, right? I'm not trying to say that you should all start going out and start partying on the beach. What I'm saying here is that rather than us sitting back, watching our economy fall apart and watching the absolute irrational outcomes that are coming because of this, not just the people who are getting the virus, but millions more people having their lives ruined because the economy is getting shut down, because they're losing their jobs. That to me is not worth it if the statistics on this thing are no more deadly than what the flu brings about. Let me read for you another inconvenient fact about COVID-19. And again, this is from the article by the EMF guy. You can check out his site at emfguy.com. And I will, again, put the link to this article up on the show notes for this episode. Fact number three, quote unquote, confirmed deaths from COVID-19 are not so confirmed either. And the article reads, you've guessed it, the story gets worse. It turns out that just like a large fraction of confirmed cases of COVID-19 are possibly not real cases of COVID-19, a lot of deaths blamed on COVID-19 probably have nothing to do with COVID-19. The tricky part is that so far, the vast majority of deaths attributed to COVID-19 have been seen in the older population, and that a lot of these folks have multiple other conditions that could have been responsible for their deaths. There's also the fact that since the COVID-19 test kits do not rule out the presence of a bacterial infection or other viruses, such as the very common influenza A or B, it's quite possible that people who got killed by the seasonal flu or other viruses will in fact be counted as a victim of COVID-19. This problem has been highlighted by Stanford medicine data scientists who released their early findings, which show that up to 25% of all people infected with SARS-CoV-2 also had a co-infection. They commented that these infection rates are much higher than previously reported rates. And since we are in the midst of a global panic, where everyone is looking for a new deadly virus, it's natural to think that the medical system will display a huge confirmation bias and artificially make COVID-19 deadlier than it really is. Think about that for a second. Think about that, right? Global panic. People are dying. right? And there is going to be a confirmation bias, a pressure on anybody in charge of this to show that these deaths would be related to COVID-19, okay? Now, let me go back to reading the article. Dr. John Lee, consultant histopathologist at Rotherham General Hospital, shares the same concerns. Quote, in the current climate, anyone with a positive test for COVID-19 will certainly be known to clinical staff looking after them. If any of these patients die, staff will have to record the COVID-19 designation on the death certificate. Contrary to usual practice for most infections of this kind. There is a big difference between COVID-19 causing death and COVID-19 being found in someone who died of other causes. Making COVID-19 notifiable might give the appearance of it causing increasing numbers of deaths, whether this is true or not. It might appear far more of a killer than flu, simply because of the way deaths are recorded. Back to what the author is writing here. Here's the problem. We know from recent Italian data, the example everyone uses in the media to prove how deadly this COVID-19 pandemic is, that 99% of all patients who presumably died from COVID-19 had other illnesses. So again, a lot of these variables are getting confounded. They're getting wrapped up with each other. And what we're seeing out there reported as deaths might not be entirely accurate. So what am I trying to accomplish here? Once again, I am not telling you to stop social distancing. I am not telling you to start going out of your house, to start going to parties, to throw a keg party, to do anything other than what you're being told right now. What I do want you to do is I want you to start to think. When you start to see these headlines on the mainstream media, I want you to start looking for how they're trying to induce fear and how they're trying to point fingers and how they're trying to influence. And one more thing I want you to think about here. We all know the story of a Trojan horse. When the Greeks were trying to defeat the Trojans, they brought out a huge wooden horse that they were trying to give to the Trojan as a supposed gift. And the Greeks had been trying to sack Troy for ages before that, and they couldn't penetrate the walls of Troy. But what they did instead, they delivered that horse. They said it was a gift. The Trojans brought it in, thought the war was over, and then a bunch of Greek soldiers came out in the middle of the night from inside the horse and then slaughtered the Trojans while they slept. Now, our economy was extremely strong before this. There was probably a good chance that we were going to bring American manufacturing back, that we were going to stop relying on foreign manufacturers and Chinese manufacturing for a lot of the things we were doing. There was a good amount of talk of tariffs on Chinese products and Chinese goods. And if you think about it, well, the Chinese probably couldn't defeat us. They probably were having a very difficult time figuring out what their next move was. And so you start to see some videos of the Chinese shutting down their streets and then putting out, these teams to gather up people and to enforce a certain amount of isolation. These videos start to link on Twitter. I saw them, starting around the holidays where people were like, oh, what the heck is going on in China? And then the virus that was supposedly causing all this starts to make its way over to the West, into the United States, to Europe. And, again, I'm not saying that the virus is not real. I think it's a very real thing. I think it's something that is posing a danger. But the amount of danger might be something that we should question. And we might be wanting to question the motives of anybody who was making it look like it was a danger. And I'll state another fact. Over the last 2 weeks, the United States has economically been brought to its knees. Our economy, which was flying, is now in tatters. And there are many people who are going to suffer because of it. And there is a lot of opportunity to point finger at politicians who were not necessarily so friendly to China. You might accuse me of wearing a tinfoil hat on this. And you know what? I probably am. And hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully we're not so gullible, and hopefully we're not so stupid. But so far, you know, the media keeps saying that hospitals are getting inundated, that they're about at their breaking point. But when they're finally pushed to the truth, even Governor Cuomo admitted that the hospitals aren't getting inundated yet. They're preparing for what they think is to come. We're not seeing lines at hospitals. We're not seeing hospitals getting overcrowded. We're seeing hospitals preparing for what is a potential disaster. And when you do look at the raw data at Johns Hopkins University, and you see the numbers aren't adding up. We've had about 6,000 people die from this thus far, approximately 300,000 people getting infected, about a 1.4% death rate. When you consider the fact that many more people are probably infected than are showing symptoms, that death rate drops somewhere below 1%. And again, that's not tinfoil hat stuff. That's stating the truth based off of the raw data that Johns Hopkins University is providing and which most of the media is going off of. But yet they choose to put up these fearful clickbait headlines. And again, I could be wrong. 2 weeks from now, they say that this next 2 weeks could be vast danger. And 2 weeks from now, we might be in a place where hundreds of thousands of people died. I wouldn't happily be proven wrong on that one. I don't want hundreds of thousands of people die. I hope I'm right on this one. But, you know, it looks like those numbers aren't climbing at the rate the media supposedly says they are. And once again, I want to emphasize that I am a moron. I don't have any medical training. I do have some statistics background, which can help me with understanding some of this stuff. But I'm nobody you should listen to on this or put whose hands you should put your life. But again, I'll say this. I don't have an immune system. I have autoimmune disease. The medications I'm on take down my immune system. And so if anybody's at risk to die of this, then it's me. And of course, I'm continuing to wash my hands. I'm continuing to social distance. I'm not going out in public and doing a bunch of stuff. I'm not going to large gatherings. But, and I don't want you to stop doing that either. But what I do want you to start doing is to question what you're being told and to do your own research when it comes to this stuff. I love you all. I hope that you're remaining safe and healthy. I hope that you continue to follow these guidelines until either the world comes to its senses or this thing ends. And I hope you always look to find the truth. God bless you all. I'll be back at you later this week with some more awesome content. This is Chris Albert with the Warrior Soul Podcast, and I am out.